Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today's message is taken from our Gospel reading from the fourth chapter of St. John, with an emphasis on these words. Jesus said, "The hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. The hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." This is our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Ever since middle school, one of my favorite bands has always been Weezer. To this day, I still have CD copies of all their albums, even though I do all my listening these days from my phone. In college, I was thrilled to learn that my sophomore roommate was also a big fan. And so, of course, we planned to catch a concert one fall. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was September of 2008, and we got tickets to their Red Album tour in Detroit, Michigan, at the Palace of Auburn Hills, where the Pacers play. Having never seen the band live, I was thrilled, as well as extremely anxious to get there early. And so we arrived and parked a solid 4 hours before the concert actually started, with the intent to try to walk around, grab some food, and of course stake out our seats. Once the palace opened, we went in and we looked around at the various tables of merchandise for sale, hoping to find some hidden treasures. At one of the tables was a collection of Weezer's albums, and I spotted one that I didn't yet have in my collection. And so, seizing the opportunity, I picked it up, I paid, and when the pen that I was supposed to sign my receipt with wouldn't work, I stepped over to the next table and I asked the guy sitting at it if I could borrow his. "Go for it, bro," he said, nodding to the table. So I grabbed the pen, I signed, I got my CD, and then, as I was leaving, I absentmindedly pocketed the pen. Getting out of line, I approached my roommate, who was looking at me like I had just landed my spaceship in the fire lane. He looked at me and said, "You have no idea what just happened, do you?" Needless to say, I was clueless. Fortunately, he didn't keep me in suspense for very long. "You just waltzed up to Rivers Cuomo, and you took his pen." I had to do a double take. You see, Rivers Cuomo is the front man for Weezer. How could I have possibly not recognized him? I turned around, I looked over at the table just to make sure, and he was right. There sat Rivers, but he was sporting a brand new beard, and I barely even recognized him. But nevertheless, there he was, sitting at the table, setting up to meet fans, to sign memorabilia, and I had somehow slipped past security, and I had stolen his pen. Have you ever been so distracted that you missed something big? Well, of course, we all have. This was the case with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Well, almost, anyways. At the time of her encounter with Jesus that faithful afternoon, no doubt this woman thought that she understood her place in life. A woman, a Samaritan, an adulterer. She was the kind of person who would have been easy to overlook in first century Palestine. Indeed, when Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," she was puzzled because the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans according to the scriptures. Nevertheless, the rabbi continued, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." But she did not know. There was much that she did know. She knew her place in the world. She knew her sin. She knew that this well was given to Jacob, father to Jews and Samaritans, but never did she imagine that the one who gave Jacob this water was standing before her in the flesh. "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob?" That is to say, are you the one who comes after Jacob, the one promised to Jacob and to the prophets of old? Well, no doubt he was, for he offered her that which Jacob could not offer. "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Well, no, this couldn't be. Why would one so great come to a wretch like her? surely the promised Messiah of the Jews wouldn't be caught dead associating with the likes of her. Nevertheless, she thought that she would take him up on his offer, and she asked, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." This poor woman, she recognized the gift, but she did not recognize the giver of the gift. And so, when she asked, Jesus responded with prophecy, asking her to go and find her husband. She responded that she had no husband. But that wasn't quite the whole story. Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." Now she was beginning to understand. This ordinary-looking man was more than a rabbi, more than a rock star for that matter. She ventured, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." She was getting closer, but she wasn't there just yet. And it is here that Jesus revealed to her the divine truth that would change everything she thought she knew. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." "Well, very good," she thought. "Someday, Jews and Samaritans alike will be able to worship God apart from the temple, in spirit and truth. But who in the world was this man to claim that that time was now, that the hour is now here?" She still didn't get it. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Now just imagine her shock when Jesus replied, "I who speak to you am he." Not only was this the Messiah, but here he was sitting with an adulterous Samaritan woman, talking with her, drinking with her, offering his free gifts to her. This conversation at Jacob's well was so much more than just an eye-opener to this woman. But it was a total paradigm shift for her entire life. "The hour is here," says Jesus, "and it is here for you. You, poor miserable sinners, you, outcasts and downtrodden, you, who suffer under labels of all kinds, rejection and persecution, you, sick and dying, crushed under the weight of your sin. This Jesus is here, and he is here for you. Do you see him? How might you even recognize him? Hear his voice in the words of the Holy Scriptures. Study his law to show you your need for salvation. Cling to his gospel of forgiveness for your sins. Receive his living water as you are baptized into his name, no longer a stranger or an outcast, but an heir to the riches of his kingdom. Partake of his body and blood as he welcomes you to his table, an honored guest in his banquet hall. See him for who he is, and find him where he has promised to be, not in a temple made by hands, but here with his people, in his means of grace. The hour is here, and the Messiah is present for his people. Do not tarry. Come to the wellspring of living water, to the fount of Jesus Christ crucified for you. Come, drink, and thirst no more. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in the same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.